if you guys are really us, what number are we thinking of? 69, dudes!
Welcome to the A-News Podcast, where you can say fuck as much as you want. This is episode 69 for June 22nd, 2018. This podcast covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week. This podcast is designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism at our email address, podcast@anarchistnews.org. Most stories have more information at the non-sectarian anarchist news site, anarchistnews.org.
June 24th, 2018. We are approaching 7 weeks of conversation about conversation. And to be clear, if I wanted everyone at my General Assembly or Spokes Council to decide painting the building in question blue, I would plant blue flowers outside the meeting the night before, park stolen blue cars out front, serve blueberries I found in the trash, encourage paid actors to wear the color blue, and make as many references to blue as I possibly could when it came time for me to talk. And, if I'm being honest, which I always am during such proceedings, I'd probably drop some references to blue while I interrupted other people while they were talking. One of those interruptions would probably sound something like, yeah, I think that if, we reified audiences through color, that sounds pretty great, but I just don't want you to think about a blue tree. One really important thing I do want you to think about, though, is that interrupting people is actually rather rude. So, anyway, this is part 3 of a new segment on the A-News podcast entitled The Praxis of Pragmatics. And we never expected to go past episode 2, but since you kept voting super hard, like a blue city in a red region, we kept providing you with the inspiration that, oh god, who the fuck cares? I generally give a recap about last week's episode, but since whatever wasn't poetry was pure assertion, it seems as though the only takeaway is that if you want anything done, you have to do it yourself. Just not like DIY, because that shit sung faster than Blue Anarchy, but alright, anyway, I digress. When we try to define what action is outside of the cargo cult of brick throwing, we still have no idea. And when we refer to getting anything done, this is also a sort of black magic rite that occurs by accident rather than by volition. Anything else would be documentation, and documentation leads to science, which leads, in case you didn't know, to self-flagellation. To be clear, and perhaps kind of like a beautiful blue sky, I believe there is something very important for humans to consider. While a very smart person like the IRC legend Fae Folk might realize, the myth in which we idiotic plebes might be rich and famous is just not true. The lads here in the United States still function under the pretense that one day we will spill coffee on ourselves, bring someone to court using a system that we claim to hate, and then begin working on our high dive into our swimming pools filled with money. First, that's very unsanitary. And second, the myth of raccoon people and bear people is simply a more compelling conversation. And believing in animal-human hybrids is actually easier to believe. The point then, if there even is one, is that we might consider thinking of inventions and innovations. Two concepts, which, by the way, are very different. These are practices which, through my cognitive biases, make it seem rather easy to imagine that the inhabitants of this pale blue dot could once again become known for. But this assumption is likely to generate only a few licks on the guitar some fancy work on the harmonica, and some inspiration for me and all of my pre-friends to sing the blues. When we think of what to do, we carry with us the baggage of people who were forced to leave rural life for the city. Not because we want to, but because while opportunity in the city is next to nothing, opportunity in the country is often literally nothing. If we read books detailing the immensity of the sea, we may think of the sea, because the influences in our life prime us for who we are. If the majority of the population lives in cities, then it stands to reason that we use big city thinking to approach tribal challenges. I don't mean solving problems. I mean accepting the dare to deliver on a felt need with the philosophies of design and engineering, which, by the way, are concepts that are only hard to swallow if the cup you are trying to fill with such ideas is already full of indoctrination, leaving room for little to nothing else. When we speak of acting solo, we might imagine a blue Corvette. Surely, this can take us there faster through the use of cash-intensive technology, but what about a blue bicycle? When we act alone, or when we move from idea to pre-perfection, this less cash but more labor-intensive option may be our best strategy. Even still, that new blue pair of kicks, or anyway, rather shoes for those of you who don't keep up with the evolving language, might take you where you're going with less cash than pedaling your way wherever it is that you are going with that blue bicycle. When we think of solo projects, and by the way, assertion alert, we think to leave big city thinking at the door. The chainsaw is an option, but if the barrier is cash, use a fucking stone axe. Get the job done and use your amazing tool designing brain to do more than investing in believing that you can't do it if you don't have a chainsaw. Think, for just a moment, that folks who had the motivation before electricity, before steel, before tech, before refrigeration, before calculators, somehow figured out how to get it done. Appropriate technology, or as it was once called, intermediate technology, is something for all of us to consider. The folks on the IRC get it. For us, it's 1995. But some claim that big tent social media platforms are the collapse of net neutrality, or how Argentina really had a leg up on reclaiming the means of production because they had all of these empty factories just sitting around everywhere, has destroyed any hope we have at invention or innovation. They get all blue in the face, holding their breath and waiting around for perfection. But again, with yet another assertion from this motherfucker, that civilized thinking is the opposite of the wild whims of invention and innovation. It is the king of the jungle who big cities aspire to be, but it is the mouse who frees the lion from the net of the hunter. It is not that we lack the means. It is that we are trapped by our own thinking. If we could only see that when we cut doors and windows for a room, it is the holes which make them useful. It is not the General Assembly's proceedings which bring us to the consensus on the color blue. It is the leveraging of a labor-intensive but less technologically sophisticated or investment-driven process by which we achieve the same results.
las señas que me enseñan este sueño tiemblan como tambores y se pueden tocar. Y más o menos creo que te creo, y más o menos siento que te siente igual. Me cuesta descifrarte aunque lo veo, no me es tan evidente y lo puedes palpar. Si llegas por llegar, me voy contigo igual mañana. Mañana.
Editorial. We don't need architects to dismantle the master's house. By Not Null. Two anarchists are walking down the road. One, holding a Molotov cocktail, turns to the other and asks, "Where should we throw this?" And the other replies, "What are you, a fucking academic?" To what end do architects build civilized spaces? To what end do they streamline the mechanical transformation of nature into products? To what end do they maximize the efficiency of erecting buildings, cities, and empires? In philosophy, there's a thought experiment about the paperclip maximizer. The idea is that if self-improving AI was designed to make paperclips, it would continually improve its own ability to accomplish this goal, growing ever more efficient and eventually converting every bit of matter in the universe into paperclips. Civilization is like the paperclip maximizer. It converts all action of society into materials, tools, factories, buildings, and institutions. It grows ever more efficient and productive without regard for how that impacts people's lives or the long-term future of the planet. And so with this in mind, to what end do architects maximize the production of civilization? Well, it's simple, to their own end. We'll never dismantle the master's house. No matter how effective we are, we will never be as effective as the paperclip maximizer of civilization. No matter how many bricks we throw, the master's house will always be made of more bricks. But we do not need to dismantle the master's house. The masters are doing that well enough on their own. That doesn't mean that a new utopia will be left in its place, or that anything will be left at all. But what it means is that we'll never find the liberty and the wildness that we seek in the destruction of their buildings, cities, and empires. Civilizations will always rise and fall. No liberatory ideology, no 1,000-page treatise on self-governance will change that. But just as the dilapidated and overgrown ruins of once great cities show us, the entropy of the beautiful wild abyss will reclaim even the mightiest of civilizations. Still, many of us already realize this, and we're already beyond the belief that we can win if we only organize. And yet, many of us are still dissatisfied with this conclusion, and we're wondering what we can do. If we abandon dreams of organizing, we abandon dreams of destroying capitalism once and for all, if we abandon dreams of winning, but we still desire something more than hedonism or dropping out, where should we focus our efforts? And am I being a fucking academic for even asking? As described in the beloved essay Desert, the current changing climate and political turmoil will severely challenge civilization in some areas, probably vanquish it in others. And yet in some regions, it will likely open up possibilities for the spread of civilization's rule. Some land may remain relatively temperate, both climatically and socially. As for civilization, so for anarchy and anarchists. Severely challenged, sometimes vanquished, possibilities for liberty and wildness opening up, possibilities for liberty and wildness closing. To find opportunities for liberty and wildness in the chaos of what's coming, we'll need to get better than ever at communicating with each other, at rapid prototyping, at failing as fast as possible to learn what works and what doesn't. We may not need architects, but we do need to build intermediate technologies to serve as the infrastructure we need to ride the waves of civilization as it rises and falls around us.
You might get what you're after. Cool babies. Topic of the week, serendipity and the flame. The dream is dead. There is no big tent, no mass. The siren song of community organizing is silent. A coin falls to the floor. One side, populist struggle. The other, a struggle to identify. There are no hyphens, no anarchism with adjectives. The rock of ideology is no match for the river. Many have come to idolize infrastructure, infatuated with their captors. Permanence is a myth, and those who peddle it are spiritual thieves. Everything is falling apart. Agility and autonomy are practices that we might carry with us. They only weigh as much as we do. The breadth of our work is only confined by our creativity. And today, self-awareness, emotional intelligence, and good conversation have the potential to free our mind, so our ass might follow. Rarely are the fruits of our efforts born fully formed and flawless, and so perfection, like permanence, is peddled quackery. Practice, a philosophy in action, makes creation look easy to the fool, but for the sage, the work is never over. That is because there is no creation, only documentation. Serendipity will never share its secrets. It will never be predicted or bent to the will of humans. Serendipity smiles only for the prepared. Can you accomplish alone? If indeed quality seeks quality, then the smoke produced from your signal fire will attract others, and together become an out-of-control blaze. Without a signal fire first, however, you will remain alone, in ritualistic contemplation of how great you might be if only you had an army. What can a single unbridled anarchist accomplish? So, this week, talking about this is Suds, the actual author of this topic of the week. So what are your initial thoughts 5 days later?
Well, I feel like I was inspired to work on this particular piece after a great number of people were coming into the IRC chat and approaching a question about what is it that we can do that is action? And what made it kind of an interesting conversation is, you know, for many years when I've been asked these kinds of questions, it was always sort of framed around struggle, like, you know, what kinds of actions are we going to do out in the street? And everyone who has been asking this question so far has been asking it in sort of like in absence of that. And so one of the things I thought was really interesting about that, though, is that it still carried with it this old idea of mass, and that projects either needed to be like capital intensive, and if they weren't, then they needed to be the product of the efforts of a large group of people. And, you know, I would say that people like you are an amazing example of what the will of one person can produce when they actually find themselves in the circumstances of creating something by themselves. And so that was definitely sort of where I was going with this.
Yeah, but that's of course not true. I mean, just to take the step one back, to take one full step backwards before we talk about me or the people who've been coming into the IRC channel, which, by the way, is you can actually get to this via a webpage at irc.anarchyplanet.org, and this is the IRC that's associated with Anarchist News. But to address the question more generally, like, this to me is one of those moments where when people say that there is no white culture or there is no American culture, this particular question and the way in which it gets framed time and time again is the disproof of that particular assertion. There is no more American cultural question than how do we actually do this thing that you're talking about? How do we make this crazy idea real? That couldn't be a more American question. And I think it's important to answer it knowing that you're that the assumption is that you're responding to someone who is an American kind of person and probably someone who is fairly new in their anarchist story. And then,
Yeah, I would. Oh, go ahead.
just to follow up with the second part, there is no project that I have done that has just been me. I have had help and other people consulting very closely with every project I've ever done. The only thing that I do that is highly individuated is I'm the face of quite a few of the projects that I'm involved in. In other words, I'm the one who sort of bears the brunt of the public profile of a lot of projects. And in some projects, I have the unique technical capacity to make something happen. But in most of those situations, Anarchist News being, a significant one, I try to do the technical part and stay the hell away from the rest of what it takes to make a project happen. And I've been trying to do that. I try to do it from the very beginning, but I've been more successful as time has gone by.
Well, sure, and I agree and recognize everything that you were just saying. And as someone who has participated and continues to participate in some of these efforts with you, I've been able to see firsthand, sort of like one, the pros and cons of having your face attached to something, and then two, the large amount of effort that you put into being willing to step back on things that people would normally want control over, handing over control and allowing for that to be a learning opportunity for someone to basically learn while doing, which is incredibly valuable if what we're actually talking about is what can be done. Because one of the things that's usually lacking from doing is the education necessary to actually do it. But
Yeah,
this kind of brings me up to a point that I was going to make, which is like, you're right that a lot of these people are new to anarchism and they are also young. And so, one of the things I've been thinking a lot about, and that actually came up in our call in during John Zerzan's recent radio show, is sort of like, what has changed in the past 20, 30 years within anarchism? And even for someone like me, who kind of came into the tail end of the sort of DIY scene and what it brought to anarchism at the time, that I take for granted is this idea of signal fires that I mentioned inside of the theme of the week, and which is essentially like, if you are alone, if you're looking for help, then what you do is you do quality work, and then once that quality work has been done, then you go to one of these news sites and you share that it has been done. And in doing so, in theory, this is one of the things that will actually bring others who do similar levels of quality with their work to you. And, operations like Facebook have kind of destroyed that. Because what they do is they're sort of this closed circuit existence where, because everyone who you're socializing with is someone who you already know, it doesn't really serve the same function.
I mean, I'm not sure that's exactly fair, but at the very least, you can say that Facebook is a sandbox that wants to answer the question that we're talking about right now. What can a single person do? The answer to that question is you do it inside of Facebook, whatever it is. And
Absolutely.
because, of course, people are asking and answering this question in the context of Facebook all the time.
And I think, just to kind of build off of this too, I think that one of the things that a lot of the newcomers don't quite understand is just how liquid anarchism is. And what I mean by that is like it isn't something quickly defined. And not because it is challenging to define it, but because it is so simple. It's almost like the rules of the game of Go. It's when you first read the rules, it seems simple, but once you start playing, you realize exactly how complicated it is. And so, one of the sort of downsides of what the DIY scene has left behind is, you know, when people are starting to work on these kinds of projects, it's important to remember that if one of those projects that we're doing is a business, that doesn't mean that business is anarchy. There's no connection being made there. And I think that one of the mistakes that DIY made was to suggest that if the project or the business were small enough, that it was in some way acceptable and quote unquote more anarchist, and that there was some weird invisible line between the info shop and the colossal used bookstore, wherein while both of them are doing capitalism, one was somehow anarchist and one was somehow not, when in fact neither of them were.
Yeah, I think in this case, I want to turn back to the poetry of the topic.
Yeah, are you there?
Yeah, so the last thing I heard was that you very clearly, what you wanted to do was turn back to the poetry.
Yeah, I'm gonna restart that sentence.
Okay.
So I don't want to talk about, you're sort of getting into the weeds and the weeds of your personal experience. I'd like to return to the poetry of the topic of the week, because I think that the poetry of it is that it keeps these questions really open, rather than sort of, because the challenge of this topic and the challenge of the infinite question, sort of what is to be done, is that there is no answer to that question. There can't be. It's structurally an impossible question. Mm-hmm. By which I mean, we're not talking about, if we were going to have another revolution, how would we go about it? We're basically saying there has never been a revolution that qualifies as an anarchist revolution. So if we want to make the change we would like to make in the world, how would we do that? And the answer is we have no idea. What we do know,
yep.
And this is why simple answers tend to win this kind of an argumentation. What we do know is that if you go to the streets, yes, you might not accomplish your political aims. Yes, you might actually be hurting your political aims, but you feel something. You get to actually feel it in a shared collective sort of form. You get to you know, beat up a Nazi, have a dean of a university resign. You get to feel like you at least have made a scratch on the Tesla of the universe. And that's something you can't say when you problematize all of these questions. And that is one of the self-criticisms that I absolutely accept, which is that I'm basically saying that rather than answer simple questions simply, that you turn simple questions into complex questions and leave them simmering for the rest of your life. And I absolutely accept that as a criticism.
Sure. And, you know, this brings me to something that I've been thinking a lot about as well, which is sort of, since it has never been done before, and since therefore we have no frame of reference to make any kind of judgment about what it might be or what it might take, or if it is even what we want, then the big question is about invention. And what I don't mean is innovation. And so this is really the hardest thing, I think, for us to really be able to try and wrap our minds around. And one of the reasons why I have been trying to kind of speak through poetry and really turning to a lot of it, because I find that it's helping my mind to step outside of the priming of so many of these different influences in my life and to sort of, as best as I can, limit the influences, because of course I can't start fresh.
But can you define terms? What do you mean by innovation? Why does this question require innovation rather than changing the subject?
So what I mean is that before there were telephones, there were no telephones, and so therefore the telephone had to be invented. And before there was the internet, there was no internet, so the internet had to be invented. And so when we talk about these large producers of smartphones, it wasn't an invention when they put the internet on the telephone. It was an innovation, wherein basically these two things were mixed and it encouraged a certain kind of behavior that made it an idea that people were willing to adopt.
So you think that some technological innovation would transform the question of what is to be done in terms of transforming society?
No, absolutely not. And so to be completely clear, what I am very much saying is that I think that when we enter this question of how are we going to experience a life of anarchism, then I think that we need to be thinking in ways as far outside of thinking about capitalism, the state, and all of these influences that we have on our life right now. Because in order to invent something that has never existed before, there is no way for us to actually pull any of those influences into some center, and thus it becomes reality, because it will come from somewhere else. It will be brand new. It will be unlike anything because it will have been invented.
I mean, I hate to do this, but you're traveling a very long distance away from the topic of the week, and it sounds like what you're talking about is a future topic of the week, and I'm not seeing where the bridge is. Perhaps you can build that bridge now.
Yeah. So to sort of return to the poetry, and a lot of what I was putting in there, one of my favorite poems says that you can shape clay into a vessel, but it is the shape that is within it that makes it useful. And so it is actually the emptiness. And so what I am talking about in so much of the language in there is that our vessels need to be emptied before they can be filled up again. And I think that one of the issues that we had going on, at least in many of the comments, is that people were coming to this sort of well of theme of the week, but their vessels were already full. And we're not quite capable of being able to say what that kind of action looks like until we empty our vessel and are willing to essentially start from scratch. And so rather than trying to think about these projects as being big and complicated and requiring lots of money or requiring lots of people, what we need to start doing, in my opinion, is thinking about what can I as one person accomplish? And in my opinion, especially for a lot of young people, it is a very new concept.
Yeah, I guess I just don't agree. But it's interesting that, I mean, I guess what we're talking about here in this conversation is just really different than what I got out of the poetry of the topic of the week. To me, the topic of the week was basically sort of making an argument that I feel like has been made quite a few times in the context of the topic of the week, which is that that many paths lead to failure, and that we find each other. And that we can't do anything. Like, I actually got out of this that you were saying that people can't do things alone, and that you were leaving that as the open space. But in fact, it sounds like what it is that you're saying is that it's a good idea for people to think about what it is that they can do alone.
Absolutely. I think that is where, in my experience, it is best to start. One of the reasons, of course, is that people who are good at things are probably busy doing them. And so if, for instance, I came and I said to these people, hey, I need your help, they're going to be busy. And so I will need to show them in some way that I am also good at doing the thing. And without doing that, they have absolutely no incentive to work with me. And so whether it is that we can accomplish something completely by ourselves and that the effort of doing so produces something that can stand on its own two legs, or if the act of doing so is sort of the signal fire that brings help to us, starting from solo, in my opinion, is positive in either case. But I do think that there's one thing that I want to touch on here, because I keep using this word accomplish, and I think that that is also a tricky word. Because as you were saying earlier, to say what it is that anarchists need to accomplish, that can be a very slippery slope, because I'm not so sure that doing something or building something is what is going to make anarchism happen, or that it would increase anarchism in some way. And that even if us doing that and bringing attention to our projects through these signal fires would grow the population, I'm not entirely sure that there is even intrinsic value in growing the population.
Sure. This is your quality paragraph is about this.
Sure. And, you know, what would be your opinion of that? Like, do you think that there is value to growing the anarchist population?
Personally, I do. But that's because, you know, I want more people involved in it. And that's because many of those people can give really good input, really good insights besides themselves. In other words, like, they might not mean to, but in fact, they do actually provide, you know, they might make 5 criticisms and 4 of them are ridiculous or stupid, but one of them is not. And that to me is the sort of thing you only get when you grow the number of people who are involved in the conversation. But I recognize the argument on the other side. And, you know, clearly many of my friends prefer that argument. I mean, this is just one of the things that keeps me doing, you know, broad open projects when I'm not necessarily all that open to broad anarchist phenomena. But for me, I actually would like to wrap this up because I feel like we've posed the interesting question, and perhaps we've posed it in such a way that it's clear for someone who's listening, you know, how they would take one side or the other. And maybe the useful thing at this point would be to listen to what further questions they would ask for us to take this conversation to a next level.
Sure. And I guess there's one final question that I would like to add, simply because I love having the opportunity to actually lend clarity when someone in the comments is asking a question that would appear as though the point that I was trying to make was lost.
Go ahead.
And so the first comment on there, this is sort of like the moment that you are describing right here, which is sort of accidentally helping me in such a great way. Because what is sort of going on here is really around this question of assertion. And I really do think that this plays into this idea of what a person can do solo. Because a lot of my question that kind of goes around this is, this person kind of knew where to come and find me if they wanted to ask what criteria I was using to assert the things that I was asserting as a form of sort of priming to get to the very last, the question at the end. But since they didn't do that, then it doesn't seem as though they're actually asking me, they're telling me something. And I'm trying to figure out why they're telling me and what they're telling me. Because what I get out of that is that I am missing something here.
So the comment
that there is some
the comment you're referring to, just to say it out loud. This topic of the week is a solipsistic mess, assertion after assertion. Why should we trust any of the words and declarations you make? And your question couldn't be more obvious. What can a single anarchist accomplish? Not much. But what are you measuring her by? The world? How about another life? Much. You appear to still be trapped by the thinking of armies, work, and everything. Why don't you show your role and accept that anarchy is a small thing? It's a human sized, and if it's interested in going to war, it's no longer anarchy at all.
And I especially agree with this last point. And I also believe that in the time that we exist in today, one person, whether the population is small or not, one person can accomplish a great deal of things. And that was my point. And so what I'm kind of getting at here is that what they're suggesting is that there is actually some kind of prescribed criteria of evidence that I should be following as an anarchist. And so who would I follow it for is kind of what I'm asking. Like, would I be following it for all anarchists? Because if I don't know who you are online and we've never interacted and you have never approached me before, there is no way for me to know what that criterion is. But, and so it's almost as though they're making assertions about me making assertions.
Well, of course they are. I mean, you're basically, if your argument is that you as a single anarchist person, reader, should do something, and the evidence for you making that argument is in this topic of the week, then most of what you're using as your argumentation is an assertion. Like, in other
and
words,
my response to
if you chain five assertions together, is that an argument? Mm-hmm.
So what I would respond with that with is to say that this was written in response to people who were asking me a question. And so there is no should. There is not a all anarchists should begin doing solo projects in order to expect these uniformed results.
But actually, as a reader, so, I don't know that this is a response to a question. You didn't say that.
That is definitely true, and that is one of the amazing things about this podcast is it allows for this theme of the week to be discussed over the course of the week,
yeah,
so that
that's great.
We can build on it through a good conversation. But this really brings it up. This is my final question on this, is if there is one, then what criteria do anarchists use when they're deciding what is an assertion and what is not?
So what is the definition of an assertion?
Assertion... Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to do the same thing you're about to do. Go ahead.
Well, all I was going to say is that an assertion is essentially that I am saying that something is. And normally these sorts of things present themselves as a fallacy. For example, and if they're not, then they are being asserted on some kind of criterion of evidence. So, for example, in academics, if you were to make an assertion, there
actually let's not do that. Let's use the topic of the week as our example. So, for me, the difference between an assertion and a fact is that usually an assertion is the end. Or it's the right-hand side of an equal sign that begins with several facts. So an assertion to me is an analysis more than it's a fact, I guess would be the short way to say it. So for instance, there are no hyphens. The rock of ideology is no match for the river. Now, obviously, to let that sit as poetry is fine. But if you're not just willing to just sort of accept it as a poetic thing that doesn't necessarily have to mean anything or can mean something for you subjectively, the rock of ideology is no match for the river is an assertion.
Absolutely. Now, so, I guess what I would ask, and I'm asking this as a sort of open-ended, and honestly, I would love to have this conversation within the IRC, is in what format, in what tradition, in what sense of reasoning does one come to that conclusion? And so I think that your answer here is very good. But what I also know is that what one person's methodology is not true for all anarchists. And so what I'm kind of curious about here is there one that might be true for all anarchists?
Oh, probably not, but...
I would agree, but I am still curious nonetheless.
Yeah, I honestly, this is a question that I think other people are going to have stronger opinions about than I do. Thank you very much for this conversation.
And thank you very much, Aragorn.
That's a wrap. This podcast is the effort of many people. This episode was sound edited by Rocinante, The Praxis of Pragmatics Part 3 by Suds, Editorial We Don't Need Architects to Dismantle the Master's House by Not Null. Thanks to Aragorn and Suds for the topic of the week discussion. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. To learn more, Introduction to Anarchism, anarchy101.org, books and other anarchist material, littleblackcart.com, and up-to-the-minute news and commentary at anarchistnews.org.
Light as a feather when I'm floating through, reading through the daily news, measuring the hurt within the golden rule. Centimeters of ether, I'm heating the speaker. Motivational teacher with words that burn people. Singing the headlines, line with discord. It's either genocide or the planet in uproar. Never good, the rules in paradise are never nice. The best laid plans of mice and men are never right. I'm just a vagabond with flowers for Algernon. An average Joe who knows what the fuck is going on. It's the hope of my thoughts that I travel upon. Fly like an arrow of God until I'm gone. So drifting away like a feather in air. Letting my words take me away from the hurt and despair. So I'm keeping it vertical forever elevator. Riding the escalator to the something that is greater. So I'm drifting away like a feather in air. Letting my soul take me away from the hurt and despair. So I'm keeping it vertical forever elevator. Riding the escalator to the something that is greater.
Taking chances, word tap dancing with wolves. In an ice arena out there deep in the woods of Arizona. The sun be out, life's around again. And trying to be Dali when I write some real life. I'm painted vivid, habitat crazy insane. Watching propaganda, 6 o'clock news and insane. Cultures clash, all black folk and white trash. They rebel in the cyberspace that might crash. Dash to millennium, a million miles of running. At the speed of now, but I don't return gunning. Rambo style gun, hold child gunning. Airboat plow, two times loud, stunning.
Stunning, when it hits ya, lift you off the earth like, hey yo, take you right back to earth. And niggas wonder why, they might wonder why this shit might happen, but it does. It go
drifting away like a feather in air, letting my words take me away from the hurt and despair. So I'm keeping it vertical forever elevator, riding the escalator to the summit that is greater. So I'm drifting away like a feather in air, letting my soul take me away.
Just self-understanding of the things around me that becomes the wisdom that I need. Living this life to the best of my ability, channeling energy to my thoughts, attain symmetry. Remember me because my prose remain gold. I got the gift of gab like them pimps and kangos. It never ends. I keep it rolling like a cipher. The first caveman bringing fire, innovating it higher to plasma states. I raise the stakes. It's double or nothing in this vacuum of space. I will survive divine to time to cry. Fuck a hole to hide. I'm alive with pride, and I drove the Chevy to the levee.